27. It's kind of funny this morning. So when I know I've told y'all jokingly, but seriously, you know, folks that talk about, you know, that's the best sermon I've ever heard, and then you never see him again. And I kind of joked about that. So Big Tony comes up to me afterwards. He's like, "That wasn't really your best, but, you know, I'll be back." That's perfect. That's perfect. Do what? Right. Yeah. Yeah, that was good. All right, Genesis 27. So there's lots of things that happen in history and life in the world. Lots of things that go on that are really unnecessary things. Man makes all kinds of decisions outside of the will of God, and no, it's not. Sometimes God gets the blame for and the credit for a lot of stuff that's not really His work, and sometimes He doesn't get credit for stuff that is, I'm sure. But there's I think most of history, maybe even technology, maybe medicine, there's probably a lot of decisions that are made and events that go on that really just are absolutely unnecessary, to put it lightly. And they're the results of men's decisions, people's greed, maybe people's manipulation, which is what we'll talk about tonight. And so this chapter, it's a long chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, you know, right now. But in Genesis 27, you have this little episode in Isaac and Rebekah's life and Jacob and Esau's life that really, you know, it... I don't know if it sets the tone, but it certainly, it hurts one side of the family, and it creates problems, and it doesn't really solve the things that Rebecca's trying to solve. She's very much trying to control the situation, and ultimately it's like a lot of things we try to control and manipulate, and then after we're done manipulating the thing, it doesn't really work in our favor. And not only that, we've created a bigger mess than we started with. And so Genesis 27, the account is, yeah, I don't want to try, I'll just tell you what's going on. Isaac thinks he's getting old. And he is getting old, but he's going to live, I don't know, at least another 40 years after this. But he thinks he's about to die. And he's in his hundreds, which, yeah, that's old. And so he calls Esau in, and he's going to bless Esau. He's going to pass on the blessing. Rebekah hears about what's going to happen. And so Rebekah quickly... develops this plan, and maybe she'd had it in her mind for a while, I don't know. But she develops this plan because she wants Jacob to get the blessing. And so she develops this plan to trick Isaac because he's going blind in his old age. And she develops this plan to make Jacob seem like Esau in front of Isaac, and try to trick Isaac, and so make Isaac give Jacob the blessing. And so she does that. Isaac ends up giving Jacob the blessing, and he's tricked, and then regrets what's happened, and then Esau comes in after the whole thing, and he's just kind of mortified. What in the world has happened here? You've tricked Dad into this. And so Esau, that whole perpetual hatred you read about in Ezekiel is now started, and something we talked about, I think, last week, it's described as the perpetual hatred, where he despises, and the generations after him really despise Jacob and the Israelites and the blessings and things like that. And so, and after the whole thing, Rebecca at the end of the chapter is regretting. Well, she wants it to work out. She sees that, yeah, Jacob's got the blessing, but then, you know, what happens if he goes off and marries the wrong person? And I mean, she's just like, you know, I've manipulated the whole situation, and I still haven't got out of this what I wanted to get out of it. And so, yeah, the things happened the way I thought they would happen, but that didn't solve my insecurities or you know, I'm still struggling. So and that's kind of the way those things go. You manipulate the situation, maybe the situation turns to your favor or what you think is your favor, but then you look back and there's a mess here and a mess there, and then you're like, I don't I probably shouldn't have tried to control the thing that much. And so that's the story in Genesis 27. Let's pray, and I'm going to give you a few thoughts on it, and we'll read some of the verses as we go through here. But let's pray. The subject, or the title, is Rebecca's Manipulation, and that's sort of the whole, that's the episode. Like I said at the beginning, none of this really has to happen. But this is what people do. This is how people respond sometimes when they don't trust God. They try to control things, and then they create a bigger mess than they started with. So, but let's pray, and then we will look at this chapter here. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Pray that you'd guide us through your words, and teach us what you'd have us to know. I pray that you would help us apply what needs to be applied. I think a lot of times in situations like we're reading about here, in absence of trusting God, there's manipulation and control trying to be exercised and things like that, and that is part of our faith is allowing you to work in circumstances. And so I pray you'd help us with what we need help with, and I pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's read a few verses at least. We're going to skip down to verse 6, Genesis 27, verse 6. This is after Isaac. He said he's old, he can't see very well, and thinks he's about to die. And so he says, tells Esau, get some meat ready, and I want to have a little meal and have a formal blessing before I die. And Rebecca hears this in verse 6. This is what Rebecca, how she responds. It says, "And Rebecca spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, And I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Obey my voice, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So here's the plan. You got a desperate plan to deceive here. And I guess it's a part of human nature to think the shortest route to getting what we want is deception. Like the quickest way to get what we want is to lie, and that way we get that's the shortest distance between two points is a lie, and that's kind of how we think. Just deception. So that's what Rebekah thinks. She, instead of trusting God and relying on the promise and things like that, just letting God sort some of this stuff out. She's going to control it. She's going to manipulate the situation. She's going to deceive her husband. She's going to use her son to do it. And so she comes up with this desperate plan. And it's just like one of the fundamental, ubiquitous. I mean, it's just everywhere. It just means it's just everywhere. It's in human nature that we think that deception is the way, or control or manipulation is the way to acquire the things that we want. And so now what's going to happen here, this whole thing, what strikes me is this whole thing, the whole chapter is unnecessary. And then what the consequences of this chapter, it's human nature reacting and living and making decisions in the dark and absent of any guidance from the Lord, or not allowing the Lord to guide things. And so mankind makes decisions. He makes unnecessary things happen which cause bad consequences. And so it seems to be a replacement for faith and just trusting God. Just allow the Lord to work out the promise that was given to at the very beginning of Esau and Jacob's life. Just let the Lord work this thing out. Well, Rebekah's not going to let the Lord work anything out. She is going to control, manipulate, and make something happen. And that's her mindset. I can't trust God to do this. I'm going to make this thing happen. Someone's got to take the lead. I mean, someone's got to deal with this. Someone's got to do something. And that's sort of the mentality. So she comes up with this desperate plan to deceive Isaac. And the plan consists, you learn a little bit about deception. You could say deception is, it's tricking the senses. She's going to make Isaac believe that he's hearing things he's not hearing. He is feeling things he's not feeling. He is talking to someone he's not talking to. And so she's going to trick him in all of the senses. And that's why it's so, man, it's just so it's so not scary, but it's fragile to trust your senses, to trust what you hear, to trust what you see, especially now, because everything you see, the images on the screens were modified and edited so you would see that image. You're not seeing reality. You're seeing exactly what someone wants you to see, and whoever that person is that wants you to see, they got their agenda about maybe they just want more clicks and they want more of your attention. Which really, that is social. It is attention. It's all about attention. And if I can get your attention, I get ad revenue and things like that. So it's. A lot of it's manipulation, but trusting your senses. That's why James says, look, the wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, things like that. And he says, but the wisdom that's from below is, remember, it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. It's based in the senses. It's things that I'm going to make you think you're seeing something. I'm going to make you think you're smelling something that you're not smelling. I'm going to make you think you're tasting something you're not tasting. I'm going to make you think you're hearing something that you're not hearing. And so this is Rebekah's plan. I'm going to deceive Isaac, and I'm going to use Jacob, and Jacob's going to help, and he's going to acquire the blessing this way. So, let's read verse 18. He came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I've done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. That's always a characteristic of a good lie there. You just put some spiritual stuff to it. You know, it's God that God did this. So, you know, God brought it to me. Verse 21, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not. Just confusion. I think I'm hearing something, but it doesn't sound like what I'm hearing, but you're telling me it's what I'm hearing, and I don't know. He discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. And let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee. Blessed be he that blesseth thee. So, plans worked. We got it. We've got the blessing now. Now Jacob has the blessing. He's got dad's, you know, approval, the last will and testament, so to speak. And he's got it. And he's tricked Isaac to get it. And I thought about this when I read this. I thought, you know, if Isaac wanted to figure out, if he didn't trust what he was seeing or not seeing, what he was hearing, what he felt, if he didn't trust that, how would he remedy that? How could he prove that Jacob was Esau, or how would he handle the situation? And granted, I've got more time to think about some of this stuff, and I thought, how would you deal with this? And I thought, well, maybe if Isaac would wait until both the brothers are in the room and to deal with it that way. If you get both of them in the room, well, then now you got to figure out, at least one's going to at least defend himself and things like that. And so it's kind of like you get, then you have a chance to compare the counterfeit to the real thing when you get both of them in the room. And that's sort of maybe a way to, I don't know, you think about Christianity, you compare the counterfeit to the real thing instead of just trying to figure out where the lies are, figure out where the truth is, and then you understand where the lies are. So Jacob tricks tricks Isaac. Isaac blesses Jacob instead of Esau. He thinks he blessed Esau, but he didn't. And so now, okay, plan, it's accomplished. We've done it. Congratulations, Rebekah. Congratulations, Jacob. You won. You got it. And then Esau comes in the room. And he sees what's happened. And verse 30, it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. Remember, he got the birthright by... he didn't even really trick Esau. He just, it was a transaction. Esau thought he was going to die and gave up his birthright. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of the heaven from above. Now watch this. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother. I'm going to stop there and deal with what this whole plan now has created. So now mom has created, and Jacob, but mom had the idea, but now the family is going to be fiercely divided. Esau, I don't know that we talked about it a couple times, but Esau doesn't seem to ever get over this. I mean, there may be one time when he sees Jacob and Jacob thinks he's going to kill him, Esau's going to kill him, but he doesn't. But even that time, it's Esau never forgets this. And maybe more importantly, his children don't forget this. And you'll read about it later on in the Old Testament. Ezekiel calls it the perpetual hatred. And it's what the Edomites, Esau's children, how they feel about Israel and the Israelites and how they've been swindled. And so any time in history where Israel would get judged by God, Edom would either help the ones that were hurting Israel, or they would just stand back and watch. They would just sort of, have at it. And the Lord finally got on to him. I mean, he just said, "You, this hatred has gone on long enough." But it starts here. This is all born out of manipulation, control, and trying to facilitate a blessing that really it was going to be Jacob's anyway. I mean, it's going to be Jacob's anyway, just so God would get the glory. But Rebecca's got to make things happen. So There's this deadly relationship for future generations. I mean, Esau now says in verse 41, he's just going to wait till dad dies and he's going to go kill Jacob. I'll just wait till dad dies so dad doesn't have to see the mess I'm about to make with Jacob. And then once he dies, I'll go take care of Jacob. So this whole, you've created now hatred, family trouble, through this manipulation you've created, generations, what will be generations of hatred for each other, and just this animosity within the family, really. So then that leads to 41, 42. Let's see what happens at the end. Because typically, Rebecca does all this, Jacob gets the blessing, and then you find out Rebecca's still not happy. This still doesn't work the way I thought it was going to work. Now I've made Esau mad. Esau wants to kill Jacob. Now my kids are going to fight tooth and nail. One wants to kill the other one. Verse 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Really? Obey my voice, arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee. And he forgot that which, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. He isn't going to forget it. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? Rebecca, you created this situation. Verse 46, and Rebecca said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? One of the few chapters in the Bible that ends with a question. But here is, you would think, all right, Rebecca, you got what you wanted. You successfully tricked Isaac. You successfully tricked your husband. You used one of your sons to do it. Now Jacob's got the blessing, and now there is, okay, you won. You successfully controlled the situation. But now there's all these consequences. Now the boys, Esau hates Jacob, and then Rebekah thinks, you know, if Jacob goes off and marries like Esau does, this is not going to be of any benefit to me at all. This, none of this will matter. And I'm to a point now where I'm worried about the future. I'm depressed. I don't see any use for my life. And I want you to understand, I want you to think about what we said originally. There are so many things that go on in life, in our lives, I think, and in history, read about in history, that are just absolutely unnecessary. But they have all kinds of consequences. There's all kinds of trouble that comes out of it. None of chapter 27 should have happened. Rebecca, it's just a concoction in the mind of a mom on how to make something work that she doesn't trust God to make it work, and now she's been successful with it, but it hasn't really helped things. It's just made things worse in the family, and now it's the future is uncertain, and she ends up the chapter just like, I don't see really a use for my life if the future with Jacob isn't going to be, if he's going to marry somebody over in this area, in this culture here. So here's the real simple thought in all of this, So if you went back, and in Genesis 27, verse 1, and it said, Rebekah trusted God, then that wouldn't, 27 wouldn't happen. There would be whole chapters in your Bible that wouldn't even be there, because so much, this is the sort of the seed chapter for what happens in the family between Esau and the Edomites and Israelites, and how does all this get avoided? How do you avoid all of this? Well, you avoid it by just trusting God. Just trust God. I mean, I don't, you know, maybe not very profound or anything, but when you see all of the trouble that not trusting God causes, when someone who wants to control and manipulate successfully does, and she's still not happy, it still doesn't reassure that things are going to work. And now it's such a, I don't know, sometimes these episodes in life are so, they're disappointing, they're discouraging, and they're just unnecessary. I think life is full of just unnecessary trouble. I mean, granted, there is trouble, and it happens, and things happen, but I don't know the percentage, but it seems like a greater percentage of the trouble is caused by people's decisions and the way people handle things, and people not trusting God and trying to manipulate and trying to control and trying to make things happen and trying to serve their own ambitions and things like that. And then you just deal with the fallout. And history is a record of all the fallout, it seems like. There's intermittent times where God intervenes and helps, and people cry out and say, Lord, help, and then he helps. But life is not the record of God's will being done on earth. It seems like it's more a record of man's dumb decisions and then God periodically just showing up and helping whenever he's asked to help. So Genesis 27, it's you got it. I mean, we almost read the whole thing. Actually, we almost did read the whole thing. But it is... I don't know. I hate to say that phrase. It is what it is. I mean, that's what it is. It's just a record of unnecessary things that happen when people just don't trust God. And it would be a very different story, a very different generations probably if Rebekah hadn't hatched this plan and done this thing. So that's Genesis 27. I don't know, there's a lot of sermons you could preach out of it, but I wanted to give you the whole overview of the chapter. So I hope that's helpful to you. And we will pray. I'll pray for the food, and we'll head next door if you're going to do potluck. So, Father, I thank you so much for your words. Thank you for this time together. Pray we'd make the application that needs to be made. Thank you for, I don't know, I mean, it's just honesty about people and what happens when people make decisions, people don't trust you. And so I pray that we would learn lessons we need to learn here. Thank you for the food that you provided for us. And again, thank you for this opportunity to gather together. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Amen.